Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning our text continues with Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount. Verse 38 of chapter 5 in Matthew. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You, therefore, must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. In Jesus' name, fellow redeemed. The man grabbed the woman's hand and pulled her along. Run, he said. I hear him coming. Run. We have to hide. They ducked under low-hanging branches. They made their way into a deep thicket, and they hid behind dense bushes. Their eyes were wide with fear. Feelings new and strangely uncomfortable filled them. Their hearts thudded like trip hammers. Thankfully, they did not get away. Adam and Eve found out that you cannot hide from God. But look at these two. Look at the terrible, tragic effects of sin. Effect on mind and heart and soul. Adam and Eve, created in likeness of God Himself, fruitlessly fleeing, running away from their Maker, their hearts full of fear. Sin is clearly not just evil done and good left undone. Sin has infected human nature to its very core, destroying, distorting, defiling mind and heart and will. Instead of a confident trust in God's goodness, sin brings distrust, fear instead of love, lies instead of truth. Sin warps and twists human thinking and fosters words and actions then that are just the opposite of God's original intention for human beings. Where sin has its way in human heart and mind, the result is animal-like reactions when we don't get our way. Snarling retaliation for slights, surreal or imagined. Hatred and prejudice toward those who have the misfortune of being different from us. What a mess. But God was unwilling to leave human beings in such a state. He made a promise already to Adam and Eve there in the garden. And with that promise, he brought them to repentance, caused them to trust in what he told them he was going to do. And so they trusted in the Savior to come. And you know the rest of the story. You know how the prophets proclaimed and the Savior did come. It was, in fact, as John, his disciple, tells us, the reason the Son of Man appeared, to destroy the works of the devil. And he appeared by stepping into human history, by being born into our human family. And since the children have flesh and blood, the Son of God too shared in our humanity, so that by his death, we might no longer be afraid of dying and afraid of death. For he broke the power of the one who holds the power of death, the devil himself. This message of Jesus' victory over sin and death went out into all the world, and it came to us. Us who deserved it in no way, and yet through it the Spirit of God has worked in our hearts, because the Son of God took the punishment we had coming and laid down his life in our place. This gospel word, this word of forgiveness and peace, is not just an historical footnote. It is not even just information. It is the power of God himself to move us from fear to faith, to change our hearts and keep on changing them day by day, changing us into the image of the one who redeemed us. So, if sin made a radical change in Adam and Eve, affecting their words and minds and thoughts, how much more doesn't Jesus make a radical change in us, called to trust in him, to live like him, to the glory of our Heavenly Father? So as Christians, as Christ believers, we've been called to be a salt and a light, to live not in colonies away from everybody, but in touch with our neighbors, so that we might be a salt and a light, even though this world in which we live in so many ways is a negative influence and tempts us to turn away from our Savior. And Satan, he has his part there too, and our sinful flesh chimes in. But for us fights the valiant one whom God himself elected. Jesus himself is ever with us. He's by our side upon the plain of battle with his good gifts and spirit. So we're not helpless against Satan, against temptation. The very Spirit of God lives in us, equips us for living as Christ's people, and reminds us that Jesus has said, "I will be with you always, even to the end of the world." So Jesus' atoning work changed our standing before God. We're justified, not guilty. The Spirit's call to faith has changed us personally in mind and heart. We welcome these changes. They're exciting changes worked by Jesus, even as he instructs us in living to the glory of the Heavenly Father. And that's what the Sermon on the Mount has been all about, hasn't it? We come now to a portion of that sermon in which Jesus describes the lives of his disciples as being strong in love. Love from him transforms us and moves us to love as well. Not like the people of his day were being taught. Not like the world loves. Christ's love is strong enough to restrain our flesh and its desire to retaliate when hurt or harmed. As Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. And give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you." We noted in connection with the reading from Leviticus that sin twists God's word, always has. And so leaders in Israel, spiritual leaders, taught the people that they should I'm ahead of myself. I'm in the next section. This word of God was twisted in a different way. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth was a word given by God to the judges in the Old Testament
telling them not to extract excessive punishment. It should meet the case. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But what did people do? They took this not as a word to the courts, but a word to them individually. When somebody does you wrong, you have a right to even the score. And they said this retaliation should be exactly that way. Somebody kills your brother, you kill him. Justification for vigilantism. People encouraged to take the law into their own hands by those who were twisting the scripture. But Jesus, notice, he doesn't just say that. He doesn't just say, you aren't the courts. You leave that to them. He says, no, your heart should be entirely different. Personally and individually, when it's just you involved, if you're not the policeman, if you're not the parent protecting your children, then as far as you goes, you go. Let God's standard of love be your standard of love. Don't hate. Respond to evil done by others with love. Peter was there. He got the message. He wrote, return good for evil, blessing for blessing. You've been shown God's love in Christ. Let your life be a response to that love. Don't let those that hurt or harm you set your agenda. Don't let the devil who is behind evil be the one to tell you how to love. How foolish that is. The devil teaching love, but that's what he tries to do. Jesus says, you stay with me. Follow me. And look not to harm, but to help. Follow me. Meet hate with love. My love. And remember, Jesus never by doing this condoned evil. Even while he refused to retaliate. In fact, he stood so full square against evil that he went to the cross. He died not because he couldn't get back at others who were doing him harm. He died because he was taking the punishment they deserved and that we do too. Now for the part I was in such a hurry to get to. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This word of God was tested a little bit differently, but so completely that Satan insisted on having the last word again with respect to what love was. When God told Israel to love their neighbor, he made a point to include non-Jews. And he never said, hate your enemy. Sad irony. Israel was unwilling to hate those who stood against God and his word. And so they lost their faith and their connection with God. Meanwhile, teaching one another to hate. Jesus said, and notice how he emphasizes that. But I say to you, and he speaks to us as our Lord, as our Savior, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Heavenly Father. The love Christ instills and enables is not mere emotion. It is such a strength that it restrains even the desire of the flesh to get even, to retaliate, to strike back. strong to the point of effectively seeking to do what is good, what helps. Just the opposite of seeking to do harm because someone harmed you. And we think of Jesus being nailed to the cross and praying, even as they were doing that, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. It was a Dutch lady, Corrie Ten Boom. In the 40s, she was arrested by the Nazis for harboring Jews that they were trying to put to death. She was sent to concentration camp. And the one time she sees, and someone with her, notices a guard beating a woman whom they know as a fellow Christian. And the friend turns to Corrie and says, pray for her. And Corrie says, I am. I am. She was praying for the guard. The future of the Christian being beaten, that was secure. The guard needed in repentance to stop and listen to the things that even as a prisoner, Corrie sought to give to her guards and everyone else. Jesus says our love for our enemies will express itself in deeds, in words, and prayers, that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. In other words, love like God, not like men. Don't let those who harm you and hate you decide whose children you are. You're children of the Heavenly Father. That's what Jesus says to us, Jesus who died for us. He points out that we should not be loving in order to gain some kind of reward, something in return. If you do that only to have somebody do something for you, how are you any different than the pagans? Our standard, the example he would have us follow, is not that of those who do good in order to return good in exchange, but that of the Heavenly Father, who sends his rain and his sun on the just and the unjust, on the good and the evil. Where is the source of such love? Where are we going to get the ability to do this? To do this in a way that seeks God's blessings upon those who hate us. The source of such love is the love we have in Christ, the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. So the old way, the way of the sinful world, get even with those who wrong you. Return the favor when people do you good. The radically different, the new way, the way that Jesus teaches us, is to imitate God himself, whose children we are through faith in Christ. Let your love, the love that Christ works in you with his love, let that love lead you to be strong against revenge, to overcome evil with good. So we see two things then placed before us. And help us, it helps us to understand that business of trying to be perfect like God is perfect. Let's keep that perfection right here where what Jesus is talking about. And he says, let the perfect love of God, who has redeemed you through my work, let that perfect love be your standard. Love with that kind of perfect love and not the way the world teaches you. Will we fall short? We are sinners. But we will aim for that because our Savior leads us that way. Let God's perfect love set the standard in your life. And life, let Christ's perfect love, his righteousness, be your strength every day. Amen.
peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard and keep your hearts and thoughts in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.